and move over here. Is that okay? So, I understand that your pastor, Travis, wore a Hawaiian shirt. And Troy's wearing a Hawaiian shirt, so, hey, this is the Hawaii of Canada. And I'm just talking so you'll begin to understand me when I start to speak about the Word of God. Because a lot of people say, I love your accent, but I just don't know what you're saying. So, Isabel and I have been in this country for about 47 years or something, yeah. It's amazing. And we still sound as if we just arrived just today. You know that this is Canada's 150th birthday. Well, this year, both Isabel and I together are 150. So we're as old as Canada. So enough of this. But I just really appreciate you inviting me to your church and to share God's word with you. Earlier this year, of all places that Isabel usually is my travel guide, and she decided last November that we were going to Ireland, of all places. And so she planned this trip. Everything was paid for, accommodation, vehicle. All we had to do was get there. And we were going to cross from Dublin right to the west coast of Ireland, down into the south of Ireland, a place called Limerick. And there was another couple were going with us. Everything was paid for. But at the last minute, this couple had to pull away and they couldn't come. So they couldn't get their money back. So I called my brother and his wife in Ottawa. And I said, would you like to come on a journey with us? We'll go from Dublin all the way southwest into Limerick. Everything's paid for. Vehicles paid for, accommodations paid for. Well, they just jumped at it because his wife was born in Ireland. And so that was just a great trip for her. The thing is that they couldn't just say, well, Ireland's not really for us. We'd really like to go to Italy. No, you can't go to Italy because this has been paid for. Our destination is Limerick, Ireland. That's it. And so they accepted the invitation and they went with us. In a similar way, God invites us on a journey. Once you come into his kingdom, he has a journey that is planned for you and I. And it's been paid for. It's been paid for by the blood of Christ. And you can't just say, well, I would like to go somewhere else. This is my journey. God says, this is a journey that I'm inviting you on. And it has a destination. And we're going to be looking at Moses and the children of Israel. And God was inviting Moses and the children of Israel to go on a journey that would end up in the promised land. It's a physical end to the journey. God just doesn't want us to go on this journey and just kind of, well, one day we'll be in heaven. No, God has got something that he wants to accomplish in each of our lives, individually and collectively, that is the promises of God. He has a promised land for you and I as well. It's something that he wants to bless you with, that if you travel on this journey, you will end up in his promised land for your life and for my life. And so I'd like us this morning to turn with your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 3. If you can find it there, Genesis, Exodus. There we go. Exodus, chapter 3. Now Moses was pastoring the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness. And he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight. Why is the bush is not burned up? When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And I just want us to remind ourselves that where the presence of God is holy ground. And you and I gather together. Jesus said, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst. This is holy ground this morning, where we are this morning. Verse 6, he said also, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Then Moses hid his face, and he was afraid to look at God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, for I am aware of their sufferings. So I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. That is what God had for his people. That's what God has for you and I today. It's no different. The problem is that we live in two cultures. And Moses lived in two cultures. Moses was taken from the river and given to his mother, and was paid for looking after her son. And she took the child, nursed him, and when the child grew up, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter. And it tells us in Acts 7 that Moses was instructed with the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in words and deed. He was a ruler in the royal household of the Egyptians. That was his culture. But Moses was also a man of faith, and he realized he belonged to God's people, and he was God's chosen instrument for a particular task. And it tells us in Hebrews that he chose to be mistreated with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So Moses was raised in this Egyptian culture, but yet he was a man of God and a man of faith. And we too are people who are people of faith, but yet we live in a culture, the world system. And that is like a virus. It affects our way of thinking. And sometimes the way that we try to do the will of God is always out of sync with really what the will of God truly is. Because in chapter 2, it tells us that Moses went out one day and he saw the injustice of an Egyptian beating one of his people who was a slave. And Moses, being a ruler, being mighty in words and deed, went forward there, looked around, and killed the Egyptian and buried him in the sand. Now, his sense of injustice was right, his heart was right, but what he did was absolutely wrong. It was according to the culture of the day. It was not according to what God wanted him to do. And often we are sometimes conformed to this world that we live in. It affects our way of thinking. And the Apostle Paul puts it this way. He says, do not be conformed to this world. Don't be molded by the ideas of this world. Because that's a worldview. You need God's view. He says, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind and by the testing that you may discern what the will of God is, because the will of God is good, it's acceptable, and it's perfect. Moses was molded, was conformed to his culture of the day. And you and I are sometimes conformed to that culture as well. And some of the decisions that we make are contrary to the will of God. And yet we have a heart after God. One of my heroes is a German pastor by the name of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And during the Nazi regime, there was a division with the church in Germany. There was the Hitler and his Nazi regime wanted the church to become part of the state church. He wanted it under his control. And there was a part of that church called the Confessing Church, who confessed that Jesus Christ was Lord of the church and not Hitler and the Nazis. But many churches decided the best thing to do would be to be part of the Nazi regime and be part of the state church. Whereas the Confessing Church separated themselves from that. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer had this conversation with another pastor of a church. And this church wanted to be part of the state church. He said, that's who we are. That's why we should be identified with the state. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this. He says, my dear brother, pastor, he says, if you board the wrong train, it is no use running along the corridor in the opposite direction. That's two cultures that are trying to operate in the same time. It doesn't work. Because the world is going in one direction and we're going in the other direction. And if we board the train in the wrong direction in this culture and try to do the will of God going in the wrong direction, it is an absolute disaster. It's not going to work. The first thing that we have to recognize about this journey is that God wants us to board his train and not our train. And not the train of this world. And because of that, Moses operated in somewhat a measure of pride, because he came in judgment. Because when the next day, when he saw two Hebrews fighting with one another, and he tried to break it up, and they said to him, who are you to judge us? You're going to kill us the way you killed the Egyptian. Because he came with the arrogance of the world system. I can do it. It's all right. I know how to handle this. I've got connections. It's not about connections. And he was operating because judgment is fed by pride. And Jesus said, judge not that you might not be judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you. Because behind judgment is pride. And once you enter into pride, you'll find yourself being opposed by God, not by the devil. Because Jesus said, or through Peter, he said, clothe yourself, all of you, with humility towards God. For God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. The thing is, that Moses had the favor of God resting upon him. But when he started to operate under the Egyptian culture of his day, the favor of God was lifted off him. You see, Joseph humbled himself under the hand of God regardless of his circumstances. And it says this of Joseph, that the Lord was with Joseph, and the Lord caused all that he did to succeed, because Joseph found favor in the sight of Potiphar. The favor of God was on Joseph. Same was true of Daniel. Daniel had favor with the commander of the eunuchs, Because it says that Joseph found favor in his sight. God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of that man. You see, favor doesn't come out of your personality. People try to use their personality to get favor. They try to use their position to get favor. Favor comes from God and God alone. And once God lifts that favor off you, you've no longer got any favor with people. Moses had to learn that lesson. And when he realized that everyone knew what he did to that Egyptian, he took off. He just saw himself as a failure. And the next time we find him is 40 years later. And there he is in the wilderness, looking after not even his own sheep, but his father-in-law's sheep. He's gone from being a ruler in Egypt to being an under-shepherd in the desert of Midian. 80 years of age. A failure. He looks past it, look at his life, and it's been an absolute disaster. And he figures, God can't use me. Are you 80 yet? Not quite. Isabel and I are getting there. But you know, I can identify with Moses. Back in 1996, I went off to Scotland believing that Scotland was going to come through a great revival, and I would like to have been there when it happened. And I was going to stay there until I retired. 14 months later, I'm back in Vancouver with my tail between my legs, feeling like an absolute failure. Felt that God would never use me again. I thought to myself, if I can't even discern the will of God for my own life, how can I share the will of God for the lives of other people? I felt like Moses. And I wonder if you feel like that today. You feel that life has passed you by. If I had my life to start over again, I would do things differently. Let me tell you, at 80 years of age, Moses could start all over again. That's the great thing about God. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how big a failure you are. God will use you again. You can start life all over. God's inviting Moses on a journey. He's inviting you and I on this journey. You know why? Because Moses found himself in a place of humility. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, Peter said, and at the right time, God will exalt you. That's what God wants to do. How did God do it? God appeared in a blazing fire in a little bush in the wilderness, in the desert. And I know that we are watching the BC fires right now, and it's going from tree to tree. They talk about kindling. It's just the whole forest is in fire. Here was a fire that was blazing, and yet this bush in the middle of the desert in a hot summer's day was not being consumed. There's something miraculous about this. And what is it saying to Moses, and what is it saying to us? The fire, because it's God's presence, speaks about God himself. God is called a consuming fire. It says, out of the throne of God comes a river of fire. God said, I will be a wall of fire around Jerusalem. John the Baptist said, I baptize with water, but there is one coming, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The presence of God is fire. It is the power of God in our midst. And the power of God is here this morning. You know, the internal combustion engine in our vehicles is really fire, because it ignites
and there's fire, and it creates energy, and it creates drive. That is what God is. God is the power, not you and I. And it's in this lowly bush. And you say, what does this indicate? Well, if you go through Scripture from beginning to end, people and nations are always identified as trees. The righteous man is like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You are to be oaks of righteousness. The godly are like cedars of Lebanon planted in the house of the Lord. Over and over again, we're talked about as trees. Even Nebuchadnezzar has said he was like this great tree that was chopped down. There's an interesting story in Judges chapter 9, 8 to 14. And one of Gideon's sons, he had 70 sons, and a son called Abimelech killed all of them except for one. His name was Jotham. And Abimelech wanted to be the leader and the king over the people of Shechem. And Jotham, the youngest who escaped, he stood on the Mount Gerizim and he said this. He says, "Listen, O trees." He says, "And the trees once went out to anoint a king over them. And they said to the olive tree, 'Reign over us.' But the olive tree said to them, 'Shall I leave my abundance by which gods and men are honored and go hold sway over the tree?' And the tree said to the fig tree, 'You come over, come and reign over us.' But the fig tree said to them, 'Shall I leave my sweetness and my good fruit and go hold sway over the trees?' And the tree said to the vine, 'You come reign over us.' But the vine said to them, 'Shall I leave my wine that cheers God and men and go hold sway over the trees?' And finally, then all the trees said to the bramble bush, 'You come and reign over us.' And the bramble bush said, 'Come under my shadow.'" He went to the very lowest place, the place of absolute humility, to the bush. That's where Moses was. God was saying to Moses, "You're just a bush in the middle of the desert. You've got no position. You've got no power. I have got the power. It's all going to be about me and not you, Moses." That's what Jesus said to us. "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest." Why? Because Jesus is doing the work. Jesus is building the church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Not you and I. We're just invited along for the ride. It's an invitation to a journey. You see, it says of Moses that Moses was very humble, more than all the people who were on the face of the earth. All the others were great trees, but Moses was just a bush in the middle of a desert. And you know what? If you find yourself just like a little lowly bush in the middle of a desert, you're dry and thirsty, God is want to ignite a fire in you that is about Him and not about you. Because when God does that, the ordinary becomes extraordinary. It says in the book of Acts that when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. They recognized that they had been with Jesus. I wish our denominations would catch that. We're looking for people who have PhDs and masters. God is looking for people who are with Jesus. They were uneducated. They were common. They were just a bush, those fishermen. The The invitation to the journey is now extended to Moses, and it's extended to you and I.
Isabel's mother, when she was in her 70s, we're in our 70s. I think she went to a bingo game or something, but they were all lined up on the bus stop, and they were just getting on slowly. And the bus driver said, "Come on, you coffin dodgers, get on the bus." Oh, she was really upset about that, being called a coffin dodger. Let me tell you, Moses was a coffin dodger at 80 years of age. But God was saying to him, "Come on the bus. We've got a journey to go. I'm going to take you to some place that is absolutely amazing. You don't have to wait to heaven to discover what this place is. It's the promised land." And he said to him, "Moses, Moses, why the double call?" You find that Samuel, God called to Samuel, said, "Samuel, Samuel." Jesus, before he went to the cross, he said to Peter, "Simon, Simon, I have prayed for you." Why the double call? Well, we find it in the Genesis 41, where Joseph interprets the two dreams. The dream of the fat cows and the lean cows, and the fat cows swallow the lean cow, or the lean cows swallow the fat cows, I should say. And then there's another dream, and one is the fat ears of corn, and the lean ears of corn, and the lean ears of corn swallow the fat ears of corn. And of course, Joseph interprets the dream, and then he says, because the dream is twice, it's really the one dream, it just means that God's going to do it quickly. You don't have to wait until the future, that something in the future is going to happen. With Samuel, it happened there and then in that temple. With Peter, in a few weeks, he became the leader of the young church that was birthed at Pentecost. With Moses, God was not calling him into some future thing. He was calling him to ministry right now. And God is calling us not to wait for something in the future, but God is calling each one of us right now. And he's saying to you, "Moses, Moses, Samuel, Samuel, Simon, Simon, Troy, Troy, Larry, Larry, Barbara, Barbara." It's right now. You don't have to wait. Because this is God's work, it's not our work. Look what God said. He said, "I have heard their cry." Moses didn't hear it. God says, "I have seen the affliction of my people." Moses didn't see it, not after 40 years. "And I know their suffering." God was experiencing their suffering. He was down amongst it. And then he said this, "I have come down to deliver them." God's going to deliver them. "And I am going to bring them out of the land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey." This is all God's work. It's not our work. It wasn't anything to do with Moses. Moses was just along for the ride to see what amazing things God was going to do. Wouldn't you like to come along and take this journey with God and discover what he's going to do in your life? You don't have to do it. This is great. Come on the bus. Let's do this journey together. You see, for the children of Israel, he was taking them out of slavery into a land that was going to be flowing with milk and honey. They didn't have to work for it. It was all there ready for them. It was like a table that was prepared. That was at the end of their journey. And God wants to bring you and I to a journey. And God has given you a promise in some way. And it may be that within you there's a gift of God that just wants to, he wants to bring up and release you into it. It may be that you've got a broken relationship, and to you, to see that relationship restored would be your promised land. It may be that you have got a family member or family members that God has given you a promise that one day you will see them in God's kingdom. You see, Paul put it this way. He says,
The one who called you is completely dependable. And if he said it, he'll do it. Eh? It's not about us. It's about him. He went to the cross, not you and I. That's why we remember it. This is all God's work. You know, there's obstacles. There's always obstacles in our way. Well, I'm too old. I'm past it. I don't have the gift. I've echoed these same reasons. Remember one time I was in Briarcrest Bible College and I was working on a master's degree, would you believe? And we came to the end, and instead of going away for the summer, I decided, well, I'm going to work in this master's course and just finish it off. In Missouri, Bethany, Missouri, a man who led a missions organization, God spoke to him and he said, I want you to call Peter McCreald because he's going to lead a team of young people into Central America to bring the gospel to these people. So they got my number, called me and said, I've got your name here, and would you like to lead a team of young people into Central America, into the country of Belize? And I said, no. I said, the reason being, I said, we've just come back from Scotland. I've taken my son out of school, and, you know, there was still some school to be finished with. I said, I can't take him out a second time. And not only that, I said, because this was going to be all summer, right to the end of August, I said, my grandchild, who was actually born today, this is her birthday, this is 27 years ago, she's to be born in August, and I want to be around for that. And not only that, I'm working on a master's degree. There's three excuses right there. I said, three obstacles. I says, there's no way I'm taking any team to Central America. So there you go. Phone went down. So Isabel and I go for a walk. And the first person we met was our son's principal. And he said, and we were talking about it and told him about the phone call I received. He said, your son, he's really smart. I'll tell you, going to Central America would be really very educational for him. I would encourage you to go. Oh. Obstacle one was down. Got a call from my daughter. She said, I would rather that you came maybe a couple of weeks after the baby's born. So that takes you into September. Oh. Obstacle two was down. And I thought to myself, do I really want to continue in school for a whole summer studying? You know what? I think I'll call this man back. I said, is that position still open? He says, it sure is. And we went on this journey. And what an amazing journey it was. God has got a journey for you and I. And he's just inviting you right now to go on that journey. I don't know where you are, but I know where I am. I'm 75 years of age and I retired a while ago. I'm now out of ministry. But you know what? There's no such thing as being out of ministry. We're all in ministry together. And it may be that God is speaking to you as he's speaking to me, saying, calling you with a double name and saying, I want to call you on this journey because I've got something for you that is just for you that will absolutely bless you. So if you feel that you would like to be a part of that, because this is holy ground. He had to take the sandals off his feet because it was holy ground. This is holy ground. And this is a place where Moses responded to God, was in holy ground. And I wonder if it's a place that you and I could respond to God. And I'd like to just step down here because I'd like to respond to God. I like to think that God is calling me to something new. And if you feel that you would like God to say to you, come on the bus. I want to take you on a journey. I want to show you a promised land on this earth. You don't have to wait to heaven. Why don't you stand if you would like me to pray for you and pray for myself in that way? So, if you feel that God is asking you to be prayed for, to respond to this invitation, to this journey that he has, why don't you stand to your feet, just as an individual this morning? Father in heaven, we just thank you that you are a powerful and a loving God. You so loved us. And the call of God has been upon us. And probably like Moses of old, we have done things our way. We have found that we have been failures in the past. We find that we are even past it, age-wise. But Lord, there is no such thing. This is all about you, it's not about us. And I just say, Lord, I am here, we are here. If you are calling us to go on this journey, may you give us revelation and may we step on board and discover our promised land. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.